from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The premier baseball show in Chicago. Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel.
Cubs need something good to happen. Wisdom needs to get a big swing of the bat.
A 2-1. Wisdom hits a high fly ball. Deep left center. Get out the tape measure. Long gone. A grand slam for Patrick Wisdom. Cubs lead 7-4.
Here comes the 3-2 pitch from Neris. Massey bounces one to the right side, fielded by Bush. Underhand feed to Neris. Cubs win. Cubs win the ball game 9-4. Patrick Wisdom, the big star, the grand slam that turned things around. And this series is all even at one victory apiece.
Cal Raleigh leads it off for the Mariners here in the fifth inning. He shoots this high out to right field, and this is on its way and gone. Cal Raleigh, a home run, his 21st this year. 429 off the bat of the Mariners catcher.
And just a rocket off the bat. Big dumper, knew it right away.
Oh, this ball is tagged. This is gone. Out to right field, and the Mariners have gone back-to-back in consecutive games. Well, the Mariners are one out away from a series win with a victory tonight. Low skipper handled by Dylan Moore. And that's the ball game. The Mariners win this one tonight, 6-3, the final score.
It's time for Hit and Run with your host, Matt Spiegel.
Let's sing together, shall we? Ba 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 da ba ba. Hi, folks, and welcome to This Week in Chicago Baseball. My Mel Allen has gotten worse through the years. Just sing the low brass. Good morning, everyone, on a dreary, rainy morning in Chicago. Although I think the rain might be done, let it be said, let me brag up front. I rode a bike to work today. I talk about it a lot. Clearly, it's a part of my my self-care. It's a part of my value that I find in myself is riding a divvy bike to work through downtown. On the lakefront when the weather allows, but truthfully, it lets me feel gratitude. Man, it is a beautiful thing to live in a city like this, just an incredible city, and to be able to hop on a bike and bike to work for yours truly to come talk baseball? Come on, man. Who's got it better than us? Nobody. Hope everyone is good. Our teams are not. You're aware of this. But there is a lot to discuss. As the White Sox lose to the Mariners last night, and Eric Fetty was pulled after four innings because he's going to get traded, I guess, and his arm is not an issue. He doesn't need Garrett Crochet-style protection. What are we doing here? What are we doing here? And we know what we're doing. We're just kind of getting ready for the removal of White Sox pieces, as many as can possibly be removed this week. By Chris Getz. What are we doing here? We're building up Garrett Crochet into this so he can then be dealt. We're going to talk about that later on. I have a confession of sorts, an admission of sorts to make, calling out to you, Ron, on the South Side. Be listening later on. Also, a White Sox great was in the broadcast booth yesterday, along with another White Sox player who's very much in the news. So we will talk about that. A little bit later on. And I'm curious from the White Sox fan perspective, if anybody wants to break the record, any White Sox fans want to break the record of the worst start ever in the history of baseball, the worst season, I should say, where the Mets went, what is it? It's 40-121-1. That was the Mets' record. There was a tie or there was like a rainout that they didn't bother to complete because, hi, we're the Mets. Don't worry about it. Let's just skip that.
Oh, no. Yeah, we suck again.
Yeah. I mean, So, are any Sox fans out there who want to break this record? We'll have plenty of time for phone calls. Not so much in the first hour and change of this show, but really about 10:20 is when the phone calls will kick in. We have a couple guests on the show, including one of my favorite people in baseball, one of my favorite people in sports. Dave Sims, the Mariners television broadcaster, is an absolute delight. He's got a new podcast, Hey Now, the Dave Sims podcast, the Dave Sims show that he does with his sons. So we'll talk about that a little bit, but also just talk about baseball and the Mariners who are in town, the badness of the White Sox, the state of the game, all those kinds of things. Very much looking forward to talking to Dave Sims. And I want to know what it's like to have Jerry DePoto as your Wheeler Dealer general manager. One of two guys who I think of in baseball as GMs who are completely and utterly fearless. AJ Preller and Jerry DePoto are like, they're like spirit animals willing to do whatever. We're going to go backwards? Well, then let's really go backwards. We're going to go forwards? Let's do that. Hey, this didn't work. Let's blow it up then. Okay. Hey, we're in contention, but we still need to make some changes. All right, well, then remove the closer. That's all right. Let's get rid of the Kendall Graveman. It's all right. He's not really a closer. He's just having a good streak here. Let's trade him and get some pieces. I got to look. What did they get in that Graveman trade a couple years ago? I wonder if it's been helpful to them. I'm looking right now. Boy. Abraham Toro. That's right, Abraham Toro. How's Abraham Toro doing for them? Maybe not great. But, I mean, here's the point. The point is that he's willing. A.J. Preller is willing. Abraham Toro, an OPS under 700 this year in 79 games. So, yeah, I mean, maybe it didn't work out extremely well, but I would, you know, we'll ask Dave Sims about life with DePoto. And then, oh, yes, we'll talk plenty of Cubs, and we're going to do that in a matter of moments. Good morning to you. It is Matt Spiegel here with you on 670 The Score. We are broadcasting live from the Score Hyundai Studios, brought to you by our local Hyundai dealers. And you can call the BetQL listener line, and you can also text it. That's how you get to us. And it is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. A reminder that trade deadline coverage on The Score is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. We will talk plenty of trade deadlines. Some big things already happened. Jazz Chisholm to the Yankees. Wow. That was a big one that took place. Danny Jansen, the catcher who was rumored to go to the Cubs, is now a member of the Red Sox after they also picked up James Paxton, who used to pitch for them and was DFA'd as a Dodger. What else? Zach Littell? Was it Zach Littell or Zach Eflin who went to the
Eflin.
Orioles?
Zach Eflin went to the Orioles.
Eflin.
Jesse Winker's gone to the Mets, I believe.
All right, Jesse Winker to the Mets. Thank you. So Zach Eflin to the Orioles. That can't be the Orioles' only pitching move, right? They got to make an ace move?
There's this guy, I don't know if you heard him, Garrett Crochet.
Oh, I've heard about him, but he's pulling a kind of power play that we have seldom seen, maybe never seen in MLB. I talked about it the other day on Parkins and Spiegel. That is like Montez Sweat got traded from the Washington Commanders to the Bears, and we learned this week, he told Dan Pompey in a great piece last week, he said, yeah, I'm not getting on the field until I sign a contract. After the trade, it's good to be here. I'm not getting on the field until we get new paper. 4 days later, he had a new contract, and he played and was really good right away. Garrett Crochet is trying that. Baseball doesn't usually work. Does not usually work. But he also is saying, I don't really want to be a reliever because I'm having trouble. I don't believe that I can stay healthy as a reliever. I believe I can stay healthy as a starter. I think there's a lot of science that backs that up. And it's clearly something he believes, and I'm down with that and trying to use your power, but nobody's used it in a baseball sense like this before. It's a very interesting moment to talk about. So we'll do all of that. 312-644-6767 is the number. Here's what's interesting about the Cubs today as we wake up, okay? What's interesting, and by the way, I should say just real briefly, it's fun to look down. It's not fun to look down. But when you look at the standings, I always look at the last 10 games. It's just one of the things I glance at on the extended standings. Seeing the White Sox at 0-10 in their last 10 games, I don't think I've seen that at any point from anybody this year. I don't know how many double-digit losing streaks there have been in baseball. I just know that it was jarring this morning to look down and see 0-10 in their last 10 games. We can do the research. Maybe you know already. how many 10-game losing streaks there have been so far in MLB this year by anybody. But looking down and seeing the White Sox there at 0-10 is quite jarring. But that's who they are right now. They are 27-80. That's the worst start in White Sox history. 9 games worse than the 1932 White Sox. That is the 5th worst start all time, as they are 53 games under 500. Whew. Okay, Cubs. We're going to talk a lot of Cubs during the day of this show. Jed Hoyer came out and basically conceded and said, we're not going to be adding for 2024. Anything we do is going to be with the future in mind. He basically told you, the fans, and us, the media, we didn't get it done. We have failed. That sounded like a concession. That's the way we took it. The next day, me and Danny Parkins are at the ballpark talking to Craig Counsell. My main interest in talking to Nico Hoerner that day, some great stuff you'll hear from Nico later on a little bit, because he talked about hitting and it was incredible. But my main interest that day going to the ballpark was, okay, Jed basically conceded to us. Did he walk in and say that to the team? Did he and Craig decide to share that message? And the answer is no. No, they didn't. Not at all. So it wasn't some concerted, like, okay, let's have the players ready and let's try and motivate them with this or anything. It wasn't let's try and motivate them at all. It was just Jed talking. So that was interesting. So then we got to ask Craig, after I was realizing, okay, Jed didn't say this, they didn't say it. Are the players, like, where are they? Has anything changed? And I asked Craig Counsell that directly.
Do you believe this team still is good enough to rally and be playoff viable at this point?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think, look, the standings indicate that we're not a playoff team right now. And you can't ignore that. But we still have 60, 58 opportunities in front of us to change that. And that's how you approach it. But absolutely, we have not put ourselves in a spot where we can play well enough to put ourselves in a playoff conversation. Absolutely.
But so this is one of those things where we process it differently than you do. So that's why it doesn't matter if you need necessarily even tell the players. Nothing has changed for you guys.
Nothing has changed for us. That's right.
Nothing has changed for them. I often talk about this concept of baseball time. There's our time as media, there's fans' time, and then there's baseball time. These guys are still living in baseball time. You know why? Because it has happened before. The Mariners in 1995 were 11 games back in August and made a charge and won the division. You remember that? You remember Ken Griffey scoring the game-winning run against the Yankees? Off of Jack McDowell. It's an Edgar Martinez double off of Jack McDowell. You remember that? It has happened. The 1951 New York Giants were 13 games back in mid-August. Yeah, I went to 1951. The Giants win the pennant. The Giants win the pennant. Russ Hodges calling Bobby Thompson, and the shot heard around the world. There is history. And you don't have to even go back that far. I just went to 95. I mean, there's the 2006 Twins were 9.5 back on August 1st. Now, I'm not saying they're going to do it. I'm not saying I believe. If you've been listening to me in the afternoons or here, you know that last weekend broke me. Those first two games coming out of the All-Star break against the Diamondbacks, when they lost on Friday and played bad, and then Saturday I'm at the game and it was completely lifeless.
What are we doing here?
Well, that's the White Sox. But still, I was broken. And it's just an absolute mess in terms of baseball logic. But then you get there, and they're like, oh, no, they're still going. They're still believing. And they have to believe. They're players. And then I heard this from Rick Sutcliffe last night. Rick Sutcliffe doing the series. Jim Deshaies on the show in less than an hour. But Rick Sutcliffe doing the series on Marquee. And here he was before the game last night.
Well, it's just my opinion. But tonight, it's now or never for the Chicago Cubs. If they do not win tonight and come back and win tomorrow, it could be a completely different team when they get to Cincinnati.
Okay, I'm hearing that, and I'm like, now or never. Rick, it's never. That's what I'm thinking. It's never. It never has been declared by the fans. I broke and screamed never into the void, and then Jed Hoyer said never. He said it. He conceded on the year. And said,
well, it's just my opinion, but tonight, it's now or never.
Never has been declared. The winner is never. But they can't live like that. This is kind of the beauty of baseball. I mean, there's a lot of beauty. You know, I think there's beauty. Hell, a double to the gap where a guy's trying to score from first base is beautiful. Watching Pete Crow Armstrong run on a triple. Folks, that's beautiful. But here's the real philosophical beauty of baseball. Season's not over. We can think it is. We can say it's never. Hell, even the president of baseball operations can say it's never. Players still got to show up. And Sutcliffe in his heart is still a player. That dude has always been a player. He always will be. And you can say he's a homer. He's just a player, man. He's a Cub and he's a player. That's who he is. Be you, right? He's him. That's him. So listen to how he felt after Patrick Wisdom's grand slam that turned that game around last night.
2-1. In the air. Left field. You can't forget it. Out of here. Pinch hit. Grand slam. Patrick Wisdom. 7-4.
Is this not what we expected all year long? Come on. There is a lot of talent in that dugout. And offensively, it just hasn't been there for a while. But there's still some track records in there of some guys that can do some great things. Patrick Wisdom might have just saved the season.
Saved the season? God bless you, Sut. God bless you. I don't feel it. Fans don't feel it. Jed doesn't feel it. But the players have to try, and the calendar still is going to give you a chance, even if you sell off, even if you trade off pieces. Players can get pissed and come back and play well, and I mean, whatever. They got to try, and they got to live in the day-to-day. And you are welcome to join them if you want. That's the beauty. That's the philosophical beauty of a baseball season. Because life isn't over, man. The season isn't over. It may feel like it, but it just simply is not until it is. I just went Yogi Berra, and I wasn't even meaning to. How about that? Good morning, everybody. It's Matt Spiegel here with you on Hit and Run. Lots of time for your phone calls later on, but coming up next, one of my favorite people in sports, Dave Sims, the Mariners TV guy, will join us on Hit and Run on the Score.
A base hit. You got JP's going to be flying from second. You got the bases loaded. Bauer's well fouled down the third baseline. Biggest pitch of the year here for the Mariners. 3-2, bases loaded. Cishek, the pitch. Base hit left field. Here comes JP. Bauer scores. JP scores. Mitch Haniger. What a night. What a night. I'm telling you, hey now, hey now, hey now. Mitch Haniger. Wow.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel. Sundays, 9 a.m. to noon.
That call gives me chills. That is Dave Sims on Seattle Mariners television from a couple years ago. The Mitch Haniger base hit, actually 3 years ago now, that gave the Mariners a big lead and an incredible October push, late September and early October push that got them in. My goodness, that is great stuff. And if anybody's never seen that, let's tweet out the link of the video of our next guest, Dave Sims, calling that. Because that's what gives me the chills, is that opportunity we had to watch Dave Sims work. And we welcome that man to Hit and Run right now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. The Circa Sports app is something you should download today. Good morning, Mr. Sims. How are you?
Mr. Spiegel, I'm doing well, thank you. Good to hear from you, and thanks for the kind words. And yeah, that's a great memory. Mitch Haniger single. Yeah, and then the next year, Cal Raleigh hit a home run to get us into the playoffs finally. And yeah, those are two of the best moments I've ever experienced in sports. And I've been doing this a long time as a print guy, talk show host, and a play-by-play guy.
Yeah, you have been doing this a long time. One of my favorite things I learned from you about you when I had you on the PBP, my podcast last year, very early on in first season, people should go and check it out. Is you were, and our listeners will appreciate this, you were doing what, the Channel 5 sports show in New York as a young man. You would go there as a writer and be on the panel, and sometimes who was there? Mantle, right?
Well, I worked at MSG Network. I was at WNBC Radio.
Okay.
And I had a sports talk show, and I went 7:30 to midnight when there was no games on. And then and that was my first year in 86, and MSG Network said, you know, we can't run the Untouchables all summer. I know we have no Rangers and we have no Knicks. The Untouchables, that's 1 hour. We still got a lot of programming. You want to simulcast your show, we'd like to do that. So we did it. And we've had, and then we went on to have a really good run about 3 to 5 years. And we had Mays, we had Mantle on, we had just about everybody in New York, all the great sportscasters and sports writers, and anybody who was coming through and authors who were free during that time. And it was just freaking amazing to sit there and say, you know, come out and actually do like almost like a Carson-like monologue. And then, you know, first guest is Willie Mays back after this. And then we come back. Welcome back, everybody, to Sports Night. We talked about it for the last 3 weeks. That's why there's 200 people in this small room. Willie Mays. Men stood up with their sons and cried at the mere sight of Willie Mays. Ditto Mantle. And those are moments I'll never forget, too. In my wildest dreams, when I was calling play-by-play of the electric football games way back in the day, we pushed the button and they start, and I was doing play-by-play on that, and here it is, I'm interviewing Mays and Mantle. Are you kidding me? Come
wow.
on. Play it's by- a great country. You know what I'm saying? I've been blessed.
Yes, it is a great country. And you're part of it. That's nuts. You know, it's funny because Griffey, who I know you know, Griff Jr., I feel like that's the heir apparent to Willie in terms of the awe that he inspires from colleagues and from fans. All due respect to Barry Bonds as a player, but Griffey's the one who inspires that kind of level.
This generation of guys, you ask them, you know, invariably, hey man, tell me about your story. Who was your guy growing up? And it was Griffey. I mean, more often than not, Barry guys say what you know, and Barry Bonds. I mean. Pre when we suspected he did everything was still for my money a Hall of Famer. He was a dominant player, and guys from the Bay Area, you know, a lot of them were talking about that he was their guy. Mm-hmm. But there's no question, Griffey. And speaking of podcasts, I have a Hey Now podcast with my sons.
See that?
And Griffey is we're recording him next week. I don't know when it's going to air, but we did Dusty a couple of days ago. So we're getting a lot of really good guys on there, too. So it's exciting. And Griffin and I have become friends over the years with his affiliation with the Mariners, and he's now part ownership and yada, yada, yada.
Looking at it right now. Hey Now, the Dave Sims Show with your sons, Jarrett and Jordan. Saw you had Harold Reynolds on. Do you have Bill Burr on?
I love Bill Burr. Yeah, I love Bill Burr. We have Bill Burr, Jay Wright, the one that's up, the post that the episode that's up now. We got Ken Jennings, you know, in the cam. We got Phil Sims, Ken Jennings. Tony Dungy is going to be on the show that drops, matter of fact, tonight.
Come on.
And we've got, I know I'm leaving somebody out, but we've had a good run putting a lot of these in the can. And with Jeff Garland, you watch Curb Your Enthusiasm?
Sure, of course. I know Jeff a little bit.
He's coming on. So, you know, we're doing sports and entertainment. I called in a couple of favors yesterday for an A-lister or two.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we'll stay with – there's a whole bunch of sports dudes that, believe it or not, all the years I've been doing this is football, baseball, basketball, and I haven't had a chance to talk to. So I'm dying to talk to Mike Tomlin. I don't know if I'll be able to get that in now that the season has started. But, I love that guy from afar, and I think he's great. He reminds me of my old man. He's tough. Smart and got a big heart.
Yeah, I love that. That's so cool that you're doing that and with your boys and all those relationships that you've forged through the decades, Dave, just being
you,
right? Just being you, just being kind to people, hanging out with people.
That's what my oldest son, Jarrett, said. Don't be a schmuck. He said, come on, you got a great Rolodex. I mean, come on, look, you know, you've done talk radio, talk TV. You know, podcasting is the thing right now. Let's get in. And, he's put together a terrific team. Social media and production team, the editing, and we got a great executive producer, Brandon Michaels, and so we're off to a good start. And encourage people to check us out.
You're no schmuck. Dave Sims is no schmuck. You know, I cavil at the success of your.
Hey, so do I.
Oh God. Hey man, what's it like having Jerry DePoto as a GM for a team and a fan base to know you've got an aggressive wheeler and dealer? I mean, it must be a little anxiety ridden at times, but it's nice to know that he's going to be active, isn't it?
Oh, hey, you know, he is locked in, he and Justin Hollander. And, you know, they tore down the team. They built it back to where it is right now. This is the window. And let's not screw it up. You got elite pitchers. I mean, I said this on the air last night. Brian Wu started, and he came out with a hammy or something. But I've had coaches say, he's your five? Hell, he'd be our one on our ball club. So, you know, it's working. And getting a Rosarena is tremendous. The fact that Jorge Polanco looks like he's busting out of it finally. And we got a whole bunch of guys on the ball club that have underperformed. They'd be the first to tell you. I mean, they're not doing anywhere near what they put on the back of the baseball card. If they do, and I'm not asking them to hit at Hall of Fame numbers. Just hit at your numbers, dude. If you could, if we would hit the league average 240, we can win the whole thing.
Hmm. Yeah, that makes sense.
Is that good?
Yeah, it really is, isn't it? And you know what I love about Randy Arozarena from the Rays that you guys got? That dude, I mean, you know he's a gamer from all the postseason success.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
You know he's a connector in terms of getting along with all kinds of dudes from different backgrounds and just being being beloved on a team. Like, you know what you're getting. So if you got a chance to buy a little low on him because the numbers have been down, that makes all the sense in the world to me.
And we got him for and we got him for 2 more years. So you put that dynamic, that sizzle with Julio coming off a high ankle sprain. Hopefully he's back in the next week or so. J.P. Crawford coming back off a broken hand. The constant has been the pitching. And they have not had, you know, they've had hiccups, but they've lasted maybe one turn, you know, one, maybe two turns tops. And so this was an unbelievable tonic, an incredible pick-me-up, a jolt to everybody in the organization. Heck, we felt it in the booth. I mean, we were jacked up. I was on radio this series, and you could feel it. You could see it. And matter of fact, it was yesterday as I was opening the show, and right before first pitching, right before the anthem, and guys are doing their pregame, you know, hey, let's go get them. They're dapping up, slapping five, doing jumping high fives, hugging and everything. And it seemed a little bit more zest to it. And I like that.
Yeah. You know what's interesting is we're talking to Dave Sims of Mariners TV and radio right now, but a long time. Hell, I was listening to you as a talk show host at WFAN when I was young and growing up, Dave. And you were part of what made me want to do this in the first place. You know that. But
appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, man. You know what we came in with that Mitch Haniger highlight. That's 2021, right? And that's the deadline where Jerry DePoto trades Kendall Graveman, who was your closer at the time. And the players said they felt betrayed. The players said they felt betrayed, and you're like, oh, my God, did he lose the clubhouse? And it's instructive to this moment for Jed Hoyer and the Cubs that if you have an opportunity to be aggressive, and even if it's going to, like, piss off some of the players, but it's the right thing, it doesn't even necessarily mean that this season is out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah. Oh, are you kidding me? Come on. I'm a lot older than you. I grew up in Philly. 64 Phillies up 6.5 with 12 to play. Say no more. St. Louis Cardinals, Bob Gibson, and everybody ran them down, and the Cardinals went on to win everything.
Poor Gene Mock.
Yeah, yes and no. His own making, bunting and short bunting. And they had Art Mahaffey. I interviewed Art Mahaffey in like 1990. He was still pissed. Yeah, I'll never forget that. He says, you think you're mad. How do you think I'm doing? I was talking to Ryan Stanek, who got traded. So I talked to Stanek. This is Friday. I said, dude, you know, Jerry makes a move. He's bringing in these two guys. He says, hey, man, it's great. It's great. At the same time, it's anxiety-filled because you could get traded. Hour later, he was gone. He's with the Mets now. Huh. So the guys, you know, they liken that – they appreciate it. They want to get better. They know they're underperforming. Dylan Moore said, hey, we got to score runs. We're not scoring runs. We score some runs, we're going to be all right. And the fact that Jerry's making moves like this, Jerry and Justin, you know, they're excited about it. And, you know, and Randy's an energy guy, too, besides being a great, really good player who's hot as heck now since, early July, late June. Mm. So, you know, hopefully that's going to start paying dividends immediately.
What do you remember about that 21 bunch rallying, even though they were kind of pissed off and felt betrayed and all of that?
They used that same energy. They used that energy and made it work for them. And here's the other thing, too. As you know, this, you've been around professional athletes. Dudes do not like to get embarrassed. They don't want to embarrass themselves, and don't you embarrass them. We're going to play our ass off and go from there. But, you know, and give us a fighting chance. If you're the front office, give us a fighting chance, and then we'll see what happens. And that's what it's all about.
It's great stuff from Dave Sims right here on the score. Dave, the strikeouts are just too damn accepted. Right? And it's like the damage that it's done to the game. It's just, even the All-Star game, man, even the back half of the All-Star game, I'm like, nobody's got a chance here. What am I doing? These pitchers are too good. They haven't seen these guys enough. There's no scouting. I mean, they got no chance. What can we do to get more contact and offense into the game, if anything?
I was talking to Griffey about that the other day. I said, yo, man, you believe the boys are like, they're over 1,000 strikeouts. He says, hell, I didn't strike out that much in my career. And I looked it up. He's 22 years, he struck out 1,700 times. His ball club is something like 1,020 strikeouts right now. Wow. It's about approach, and it's a different approach. Everything is about launch, do damage. And you go back and look at all the previous couple, three generations, and just about all the great players had extraordinarily, by today's standards, low strikeout rates because they wanted to put the ball in play. They were embarrassed to strike out. They were going to put it in play somehow. Yep. They're going to hit behind a runner. They're going to shorten up. They're going to go up the middle, go the other way. That's not the case. And who was it? I saw the clip I was watching. I think it was MLB Network and Joe Maddon on. And they were talking about Christopher Morel earlier in the week with you guys.
Yeah.
And it was like three sliders, and he was swinging out of his behind. When all he had to do was put the ball in play and pick up a run.
Yeah.
And that's what's going on.
Not to
bang on Morel.
No.
Because everybody's doing it.
Hey man, welcome to our topics during the course of the week on The Daily Show. He's not even being asked to have that B-hack. He's not even being asked to have that swing. They just want him to go up there and try to hit bombs. So it's not, that point, it's not on him. It's on the org. It's on the state of the game.
Absolutely. From top to bottom. No question about it. Yeah. And more players I talked to from, like, say, Griffey's generation before that, they said, man, I don't want to know about these Ivy League dudes. Get some cats in there, man, to teach them playing baseball. Give me this beat. You know, are you kidding me?
He said
the SOB didn't play beyond freaking Little League. And he's telling these guys who are, you know, we got, you know, the top 0.5% of the country, these great athletes, and everybody's trying to be, you know, not everybody can be, you know, Bonds, Judge, Soto.
Yeah.
I mean, you are who you are. If you're good, if you're a 250 hitter, be a damn good 250 hitter. Spray the ball around. Not yet. You know, I'm from that old school. I'm a lot older.
I'm turning into that because the more I'm around the game, the more I see it. And also, by the way, I don't think it's the best and most entertaining version of the game.
You would be correct.
Yeah.
Move to the bonus round. Yeah, no question.
So what can we do? I'm thinking make the strike zone smaller and regulate it.
No. It'll come back. You know what happens? You don't have cyclical baseball. Things will come back.
I don't believe
it. Because you get tired of getting your ass kicked like this. You're going to change something. That's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm riding with.
But
that's
Dave,
all I got right now.
I know, but as long as they're getting paid for slug, as long as they're getting paid for homers and guys aren't getting paid to be good 250 hitters.
Yeah, I hear you.
It's the money. It's like we got to change the money of it. That was AJ's idea. AJ Pierzynski's idea the other day was to incentivize a lack of strikeouts, that you get bonuses for every like 10 strikeouts you're under the league average or something. It's something like that. You know,
Greenbacks are good motivators. That's I don't see that being totally out of the realm. I love AJ. What I love about AJ, he's going to tell you what he thinks. And I don't have a problem with it. I really don't. I mean, if it's going to make the game better, I'm willing pretty much to try anything, man.
How was Georgia O'Keefe at the Art Institute? I haven't been there yet.
It was fabulous. Mike Mayer, who I've spoken to, chatted with for 18 years coming here to Chicago, White Sox games. Years ago, I had a day off and I went to the Art Institute and I forget what the show was. I just did the whole thing. It was great.
Yeah.
So we talked about it. It was like flash forward. So the other day, he says, yo, hey, I got tickets. Georgia, have you seen the Georgia O'Keefe? I said, no. He says, you want to go? Here's I'll give you my tickets. I said, dude, right on. So I went over and I enjoyed the heck out of it. The thing that was scary is that as I'm looking, and I'm semi-familiar with O'Keefe's work. I live in Midtown Manhattan. And a lot of the work, I walked the same street she did. The one painting looking at the East River is in my, that hotel's in my neighborhood. I was like, you got to be, I'm looking, I said, wait a minute, this is my life here. from 50 years, 70, 80 years ago. It's unbelievable. It was great. I enjoyed the answer your question. I enjoyed the hell out of it.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's, I got to get over there. I'm a member of the Art Institute, but I haven't seen that show yet. But do you make a point to do that kind of thing on road trips? Like, are different cities, you try to get something cultural in you?
I don't always succeed because, you know, with our travel, it's a bear. And, you know, rest is really important.
Yeah.
And even, I don't know how. I mean, I'm 50 years older than most of these players, but bless their hearts that they're able to do what they do under these travel conditions. I pick my spots.
Yeah.
And I enjoy it. I think, you know, my parents raised me right, and I have appreciation for all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I try to take it in. I'm not going to tell you I've done, what is it, 25 stops doing that kind of thing, but I've done my share.
All right, two quickies for you.
Yeah, because I got to go. I got that 10 o'clock bus.
I know. Two real quickies. That division, I don't know if the Rangers have a shot. It's obviously Astros and Mariners. What do you think? You guys got it?
I'm still afraid of the a little bit afraid of Texas, and the Astros are annoying as hell. And if we hit and I think they have a measure of respect for the Mariners, and there's one more series down there against both teams. I think they're both done coming to our place. We have to go there.
Okay.
So we got a murderous schedule coming up. I mean, Boston's playing well. That's our next up, Boston. Come home for Philly for three. Detroit for three, pesky team. Mets have found themselves. And then we go out on the road. We got Detroit. We got the Dodgers. We got Pittsburgh. So this next month, we're going to find out who the heck we are, man. That's why I'm hoping like crazy, and I understand the urgency that Jerry's working under, having seen that schedule. So, you know, we'll see what happens. Hopefully next time we talk to you, you know, we'll be talking, you know, pennant, maybe World Series or something.
You're the best. And then the last thing quickie, I got to ask, if that Yankee radio job came calling, is Dave Sims going to take it? You'd be so good.
I appreciate that. We'll see who knows.
All right.
Who knows? And, you know, as they say, we'll find out.
All right, man. Hey, Dave, make that bus.
Appreciate that, man. Thanks.
All right, you're the best. Thank you, Dave.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. That's Dave Sims, one of my favorite guys, and you can hear why, huh? Man knows Yiddish, too. He does. Cavell. I didn't have to explain Cavell to that man. He married a nice Jewish girl. He told me that a long time ago. So anyway, Jim Deshaies from Marquee at the top of the hour. When we come back, we mentioned A.J. Pierzynski. Big time rumor about him with language that is seemingly definitive from a man who should know. We'll do that next on Hit and Run on the Score.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sundays, 9 a.m. to noon.
Now, people didn't really like playing against A.J. Did you like playing with A.J.?
I loved it. I mean, listen, the further you get away from the game, now this is my 10th year out of the game, you know, you look back and all you think of is the guys that, you know, who did you respect, who showed up to play, who was, all the other stuff kind of falls to the wayside, and you just look back and you think of the guys you played with that showed up to play every day, that they respected you and you respected them, and that's really that, like, all that's left when it's all over. And you know, AJ showed up to play, and you know, especially as a catcher, as AJ will tell you, in the 94 draft I was the first catcher selected.
Oh
yeah, so I always had a soft spot in my heart for catchers.
People around the world, join hands on a love train. That is Paul Konerko expressing his love for AJ Pierzynski right there on the broadcast last night. And Konerko dropping in, that's pretty cool. Konerko's an incredibly thoughtful guy, a great person to talk to if you get the chance. And AJ got the chance. We'll hear from him later on about the trade deadline. And Lord knows there's news there and things to talk about there. But there is larger news in terms of the overall future of the White Sox to discuss. And good morning to you. Matt Spiegel here, Hit on Hit and Run. Jim Deshaies coming up at the top of the hour on all things Cubs. This from Bob Nightingale in USA Today. I feel like his Sunday Notes column is written for our listeners. It is. You know,
it times out perfectly.
It really
it?
Does time out perfectly. We're here to help you by giving you the latest from the most direct link to White Sox news that we have found. all due respect to their own website. This from Bob Nightingale this morning. Quote, former All-Star catcher A.J. Pierzynski has quietly emerged as a serious candidate to manage the Chicago White Sox in 2025 if they dismiss manager Pedro Grifol after the season as expected. Unquote. Bing, bang, mother bleepin' boom. A serious candidate, quietly emerged as a serious candidate. That does not mean it has just been discussed. And that also, it intimates to me that AJ has had conversations as well. Now, it doesn't say that, but boy, it'd be nice to ask AJ Pierzynski if he'd be interested in the Chicago White Sox job as a manager. We just had him on, Parkins and Spiegel, this week. I don't think we talked about him being a manager this week. We had a lot of other stuff to get to with AJ. But thankfully, in April of this year, during the season, when the Sox were off to a horrific start already, he was on with Mully and Haw, and they asked him about being a manager.
I've never been approached. I've never been discussed. I think that would be fun. I think it'd be fun as hell to be the guy. You need help, obviously, but to sit down and say, I don't know, say it's like fantasy baseball, what you're saying, okay, well, here's your team. How can you, what do you think you can do to make it better? And I think there's ways every team can do it. At the end of the year, there's only one team that's happy, and it's the team that wins the World Series. So I think it would be fun. I think it'd be a lot of pressure, but I think at the same time, it'd be fun to give it a shot. But no, your answer is no. No one's ever approached me. No one's ever come up to me about managing or any of that stuff. I'm just happy in the jobs I have and enjoying them.
I think it would be fun as hell, said AJ. Remember, during the Grifol interview process, he was asked about it an awful lot, said he'd be interested, but hasn't been asked. And that was at a time when the life cycle was not in a good place. Life cycle be a lot better for this team next year, because I think they're about to trade everybody this week. And we'll talk about the deadline coming on later in the show. But imagine AJ Pierzynski as the manager of a young bunch. And I know it feels the same, doesn't it, Sox fans? Feels like a guy that you have a history with. But it probably has to be a guy you have a history with just to work with some of the things that are there. It's got to be a guy you have a history with as a manager. But he's got to be loud and opinionated and stubborn, because that's why it worked with Ozzie. Because Ozzie fought Kenny Williams on stuff. If AJ was going to fight Chris Getz on stuff, good. You need that. You need healthy dissonance and disagreement. And we know and have heard recently, AJ, when asked about Jerry Reinsdorf and the White Sox ownership, he gets very defensive of the team, the org, and Jerry. This was him doing a different podcast. I don't think it was Foul Territory. I forget where this was, Sean. But he saw a White Sox fan who had the shirt on that said, sell the team. Oh, this is from the broadcast, actually, last night. Okay, so this is fresh stuff. I know there was a thing like within the last couple weeks where he saw somebody with a sell the team shirt, and he said, yo, what are you doing? Take off that shirt. He reacted to that. This was on the broadcast just last night. Good grab. When he saw somebody with a shirt that said, I don't like my team. I don't like our team. Also wearing a bag on his head. And I don't like our team was the Chris Getz quote directly. But here's AJ reacting to that last night.
I don't think he likes his team. Now, what gives you that idea? All right. So a couple questions about that. One, where do you buy that shirt? And obvious. Two, who sells that shirt?
Obvious. Obvious. Obvious.
I don't like our team.
Yeah, yeah. Obvious shirts. But anyway. AJ has been very defensive of Jerry Reinsdorf and defensive of the org. And he's been, he has disagreed with Chris Getz. All that stuff fits. And then that quote you just heard from Mully and Haw from April. I would love it. It would be fun. Man, I'm not going to go 0% chance that AJ is not the manager, because that's something that Danny Parkins might do, trying to flip it around, you know, and then the whole situation be mushed. But I'm immune to that sort of thing, because you know, I'm a rational thought provider. Danny is emotional. He flies off the handle, as you know, as everybody
You've
knows.
You've got a proven track record, too. I mean, you saved the Cubs last year, man.
Oh, stop. Save the Cubs so then they could buy at the deadline and then fall apart in September.
Yeah, that's something.
Sean,
remember.
Don't undermine me. Don't undermine me. I'm rolling over here, okay? I was crapping on Danny. That's when I'm
rolling.
I don't
like our team.
I know. But anyway, sure does feel like A.J. Pierzynski is going to be the manager next year. Sure does feel like that. And that would not be a horrendous thing, in my opinion. Because the manager is an atmosphere provider. Yeah. I could see him being a good atmosphere provider and right up until he pisses everybody off. But then it might still work because they would play with some anger as he always played with. And maybe that's not a bad thing. Just heard Dave Sims talk about it with the 2021 Mariners. All right, let's talk about the Cubs. You know, it was a year ago today. We'll play it for you as our way of introducing Jim Deshays in the next hour. Then after that, about 10:20, phone lines are going to be blown wide open with your involvement. So keep it right here on 670 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The premier baseball show in Chicago. Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel.
Cubs need something good to happen. Wisdom needs to get a big swing of the bat.
A 2-1. Wisdom hits a high fly ball. Deep left center. Get out the tape measure. Long gone. A grand slam for Patrick Wisdom. Cubs lead 7-4.
Here comes the 3-2 pitch from Neris. Massey bounces one to the right side, fielded by Bush. Underhand feed to Neris. Cubs win. Cubs win the ball game 9-4. Patrick Wisdom, the big star, the grand slam that turned things around. And this series is all even at one victory apiece.
Cal Raleigh leads it off for the Mariners here in the fifth inning. He shoots this high out to right field, and this is on its way and gone. Cal Raleigh, a home run, his 21st this year. 429 off the bat of the Mariners catcher.
And just a rocket off the bat. Big dumper knew it right away.
Oh, this ball is tagged. This is gone. Out to right field, and the Mariners have gone back-to-back in consecutive games. Well, the Mariners are one out away from a series win with a victory tonight. Low skipper handled by Dylan Moore. And that's the ball game. The Mariners win this one tonight, 6-3, the final score.
It's time for Hit and Run with your host, Matt Spiegel.
Let's sing together, shall we? Ba 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 da ba ba. Hi, folks, and welcome to This Week in Chicago Baseball. My Mel Allen has gotten worse through the years. Just sing the low brass. Good morning, everyone, on a dreary, rainy morning in Chicago. Although I think the rain might be done. Let it be said, let me brag up front. I rode a bike to work today. I talk about it a lot. Clearly, it's a part of my my self-care. It's a part of my value that I find in myself is riding a divvy bike to work through downtown. On the lakefront when the weather allows, but truthfully, it lets me feel gratitude. Man, it is a beautiful thing to live in a city like this, just an incredible city, and to be able to hop on a bike and bike to work for yours truly to come talk baseball? Come on, man. Who's got it better than us? Nobody. Hope everyone is good. Our teams are not. You're aware of this. But there is a lot to discuss. As the White Sox lose to the Mariners last night, and Eric Fetty was pulled after four innings because he's going to get traded, I guess, and his arm is not an issue. He doesn't need Garrett Crochet-style protection. What are we doing here? What are we doing here? And we know what we're doing. We're just kind of getting ready for the removal of White Sox pieces, as many as can possibly be removed this week by Chris Getz. What are we doing here? We're building up Garrett Crochet into this so he can then be dealt. We're going to talk about that later on. I have a confession of sorts, an admission of sorts to make, calling out to you, Ron, on the South Side. Be listening later on. Also, a White Sox great was in the broadcast booth yesterday, along with another White Sox player who's very much in the news. So we will talk about that a little bit later on. And I'm curious from the White Sox fan perspective, if anybody wants to break the record, any White Sox fans want to break the record of the worst start ever in the history of baseball, the worst season, I should say, where the Mets went, what is it? It's 40-121-1. That was the Mets' record. There was a tie or there was like a rainout that they didn't bother to complete because, hi, we're the Mets. Don't worry about it. Let's just skip that.
Oh, no. Everybody, we suck again.
Yeah. I mean, this is... So are any Sox fans out there who want to break this record? We'll have plenty of time for phone calls. Not so much in the first hour and change of this show, but really about 10:20 is when the phone calls will kick in. We have a couple guests on the show, including one of my favorite people in baseball, one of my favorite people in sports. Dave Sims, the Mariners television broadcaster, is an absolute delight. He's got a new podcast, Hey Now, the Dave Sims podcast, the Dave Sims show that he does with his sons. So we'll talk about that a little bit, but also just talk about baseball and the Mariners who are in town, the badness of the White Sox, the state of the game, all those kinds of things. Very much looking forward to talking to Dave Sims. And I want to know what it's like to have Jerry DePoto as your Wheeler Dealer general manager. One of two guys who I think of in baseball as GMs who are completely and utterly fearless. AJ Preller and Jerry DePoto are like, they're like spirit animals willing to do whatever. We're going to go backwards? Well, then let's really go backwards. We're going to go forwards? Let's do that. Hey, this didn't work. Let's blow it up then. Okay. Hey, we're in contention, but we still need to make some changes. All right, well, then remove the closer. That's all right. Let's get rid of the Kendall Graveman. It's all right. He's not really a closer. He's just having a good streak here. Let's trade him and get some pieces. I got to look. What did they get in that Graveman trade a couple years ago? I wonder if it's been helpful to them. I'm looking right now. Boy. Abraham Toro. That's right, Abraham Toro. How's Abraham Toro doing for them? Maybe not great. But, I mean, here's the point. The point is that he's willing. A.J. Preller is willing. Abraham Toro, an OPS under 700 this year in 79 games. So, yeah, I mean, maybe it didn't work out extremely well. But I would, you know, we'll ask Dave Sims about life with DePoto. And then, oh, yes, we'll talk plenty of Cubs, and we're going to do that in a matter of moments. Good morning to you. It is Matt Spiegel here with you on 670 The Score. We are broadcasting live from the Score Hyundai Studios, brought to you by our local Hyundai dealers. And you can call the BetQL listener line, and you can also text it. That's how you get to us. And it is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. A reminder that trade deadline coverage on The Score is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. We will talk plenty of trade deadlines. Some big things already happened. Jazz Chisholm to the Yankees. Wow. That was a big one that took place. Danny Jansen, the catcher who was rumored to go to the Cubs, is now a member of the Red Sox after they also picked up James Paxton, who used to pitch for them and was DFA'd as a Dodger. What else? Zach Littell? Was it Zach Littell or Zach Eflin who went to the
Eflin.
Orioles?
Eflin
Zach
went to the Orioles.
Eflin.
Jesse Winker's gone to the Mets, I believe.
All right, Jesse Winker to the Mets. Thank you. So Zach Eflin to the Orioles. That can't be the Orioles' only pitching move, right? They got to make an ace move.
There's this guy. I don't know if you heard him, Garrett Crochet.
Oh, I've heard about him, but he's pulling a kind of power play that we have seldom seen, maybe never seen in MLB. I talked about it the other day on Parkins and Spiegel. That is like Montez Sweat got traded from the Washington Commanders to the Bears. And we learned this week, he told Dan Pompey in a great piece last week. He said, yeah, I'm not getting on the field until I sign a contract. After the trade, it's good to be here. I'm not getting on the field until we get new paper.
4 days later, he had a new contract, and he played and was really good right away. Garrett Crochet is trying that. Baseball doesn't usually work. Does not usually work. But he also is saying, I don't really want to be a reliever because I'm having trouble. I don't believe that I can stay healthy as a reliever. I believe I can stay healthy as a starter. I think there's a lot of science that backs that up. And it's clearly something he believes. And I'm down with that and trying to use your power. But nobody's used it in a baseball sense like this before. It's a very interesting moment to talk about. So we'll do all of that. 312-644-6767 is the number. Here's what's interesting about the Cubs today as we wake up, okay? What's interesting, and by the way, I should say just real briefly, it's fun to look down. It's not fun to look down. But when you look at the standings, I always look at the last 10 games. It's just one of the things I glance at on the extended standings. Seeing the White Sox at 0-10 in their last 10 games, I don't think I've seen that at any point from anybody this year. I don't know how many double-digit losing streaks there have been in baseball. I just know that it was jarring this morning to look down and see 0-10 in their last 10 games. We can do the research. Maybe you know already how many 10-game losing streaks there have been so far in MLB this year by anybody. But looking down and seeing the White Sox there at 0-10 is quite jarring. But that's who they are right now. They are 27-80. That's the worst start in White Sox history. 9 games worse than the 1932 White Sox. That is the 5th worst start all time, as they are 53 games under 500. Whew. Okay, Cubs. We're going to talk a lot of Cubs during the day of this show. Jed Hoyer came out and basically conceded and said, we're not going to be adding for 2024. Anything we do is going to be with the future in mind. He basically told you, the fans, and us, the media, we didn't get it done. We have failed. That sounded like a concession. That's the way we took it. The next day, me and Danny Parkins are at the ballpark talking to Craig Counsell. My main interest in talking to Nico Hoerner that day, some great stuff you'll hear from Nico later on a little bit, because he talked about hitting and it was incredible. But my main interest that day going to the ballpark was, okay, Jed basically conceded to us. Did he walk in and say that to the team? Did he and Craig decide to share that message? And the answer is no. No, they didn't. Not at all. So it wasn't some concerted, like, okay, let's have the players ready and let's try and motivate them with this or anything. It wasn't let's try and motivate them at all. It was just Jed talking. So that was interesting. So then we got to ask Craig, after I was realizing, okay, Jed didn't say this, they didn't say it, are the players, like, where are they? Has anything changed? And I asked Craig Counsell that directly.
Do you believe this team still is good enough to rally and be playoff viable at this point?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think, look, the standings indicate that we're not a playoff team right now, and you can't ignore that. But we still have 60, 58 opportunities in front of us to change that. And that's how you approach it. But absolutely, we have not put ourselves in a spot where we can play well enough to put ourselves in a playoff conversation. Absolutely.
But so this is one of those things where we process it differently than you do. So that's why it doesn't matter if you need necessarily even tell the players. Nothing has changed for you guys.
Nothing has changed for us. That's right.
Nothing has changed for them. I often talk about this concept of baseball time. There's our time as media, there's fans' time, and then there's baseball time. These guys are still living in baseball time. You know why? Because it has happened before. The Mariners in 1995 were 11 games back in August and made a charge and won the division. You remember that? You remember Ken Griffey scoring the game-winning run against the Yankees? Off of Jack McDowell. It's an Edgar Martinez double off of Jack McDowell. You remember that? It has happened. The 1951 New York Giants were 13 games back in mid-August. Yeah, I went to 1951. The Giants win the pennant. The Giants win the pennant. Russ Hodges calling Bobby Thompson and the shot heard around the world. There is history. And you don't have to even go back that far. I just went to 95. I mean, there's the 2006 Twins were 9.5 back on August 1st. Now, I'm not saying they're going to do it. I'm not saying I believe. If you've been listening to me in the afternoons or here, you know that last weekend broke me. Those first two games coming out of the All-Star break against the Diamondbacks
when they lost on Friday and played bad, and then Saturday I'm at the game and it was completely lifeless.
What are we doing here?
Well, that's the White Sox, but still, I was broken, and it's just an absolute mess in terms of baseball logic. But then you get there, and they're like, oh, no, they're still going. They're still believing. And they have to believe. They're players. And then I heard this from Rick Sutcliffe last night. Rick Sutcliffe doing the series. Jim Deshaies on the show in less than an hour. But Rick Sutcliffe doing the series on Marquee. And here he was before the game last night.
Well, it's just my opinion. But tonight, it's now or never for the Chicago Cubs. If they do not win tonight and come back and win tomorrow, it could be a completely different team when they get to Cincinnati.
Okay, I'm hearing that, and I'm like, now or never. Rick, it's never. That's what I'm thinking. It's never. It never has been declared by the fans. I broke and screamed never into the void, and then Jed Hoyer said never. He said it. He conceded on the year and said never.
Well, it's just my opinion, but tonight, it's now or never.
Never has been declared. The winner is never. But they can't live like that. This is kind of the beauty of baseball. I mean, there's a lot of beauty. You know I think there's beauty. Hell, a double to the gap where a guy's trying to score from first base is beautiful. Watching Pete Crow Armstrong run on a triple. Folks, that's beautiful. But here's the real philosophical beauty of baseball. Season's not over. We can think it is. We can say it's never. Hell, even the president of baseball operations can say it's never. Players still got to show up. And Sutcliffe, in his heart, is still a player. That dude has always been a player. He always will be. And you can say he's a homer. He's just a player, man. He's a Cub, and he's a player. That's who he is. Be you, right? He's him. That's him. So listen to how he felt after Patrick Wisdom's grand slam that turned that game around last night.
2-1. In the air. Left field. You can't forget it. Hit, grand slam, Patrick Wisdom, 7-4.
Is this not what we expected all year long? Come on. There is a lot of talent in that dugout. And offensively, it just hasn't been there for a while. But there's still some track records in there of some guys that can do some great things. Patrick Wisdom might have just saved the season.
Saved the season? God bless you, Sut. God bless you. I don't feel it. Fans don't feel it. Jed doesn't feel it. But the players have to try, and the calendar still is going to give you a chance, even if you sell off, even if you trade off pieces. Players can get pissed and come back and play well, and I mean, whatever. They got to try, and they got to live in the day-to-day. And you are welcome to join them if you want. That's the beauty. That's the philosophical beauty of a baseball season. Because life isn't over, man. The season isn't over. It may feel like it, but it just simply is not until it is. I just went Yogi Berra, and I wasn't even meaning to. How about that? Good morning, everybody. It's Matt Spiegel here with you on Hit and Run. Lots of time for your phone calls later on, but coming up next, one of my favorite people in sports, Dave Sims, the Mariners TV guy, will join us on Hit and Run on the Score.
A base hit. You got JP's going to be flying from second. You got the bases loaded. Bauer's well fouled down the third baseline. Biggest pitch of the year here for the Mariners. 3-2, bases loaded. Cishek, the pitch. Base hit.
With Matt Spiegel, Sundays, 9 a.m. to noon.
That call gives me chills. That is Dave Sims on Seattle Mariners television from a couple years ago. The Mitch Haniger base hit, actually 3 years ago now, that gave the Mariners a big lead and an incredible October push, late September and early October push. That got them in. My goodness, that is great stuff. And anybody's never seen that, let's tweet out the link of the video of our next guest, Dave Sims, calling that. Because that's what gives me the chills, is that opportunity we had to watch Dave Sims work. And we welcome that man to Hit and Run right now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. The Circa sports app is something you should download today. Good morning, Mr. Sims. How are you?
Mr. Spiegel, I'm doing well, thank you. Good to hear from you, and thanks for the kind words. And, yeah, that's a great memory. Mitch Haniger single. Yeah, and then the next year, Cal Raleigh hit a home run to get us into the playoffs finally. And, yeah, those are two of the best moments I've ever experienced in sports, and I've been doing this a long time as a print guy, talk show host, and a play-by-play guy.
Yeah, you have been doing this a long time. One of my favorite things I learned from you about you when I had you on the PBP, my podcast, last year, very early on in first season, people should go and check it out, is you were, and our listeners will appreciate this, you were doing what, the Channel 5 sports show in New York as a young man. You would go there as a writer and be on the panel, and sometimes, who was there? Mantle, right?
Well, I worked at MSG Network. I was at WNBC Radio.
Okay.
And I had a sports talk show, and I went 7:30 to midnight when there was no games on. And then and that was my first year in 86, and MSG Network said, you know, we can't run the Untouchables all summer. I know we have no Rangers and we have no Knicks. The Untouchables, that's 1 hour. We still got a lot of programming. You want to simulcast your show, we'd like to do that. So we did it. And we've had, and then we went on to have a really good run about 3 to 5 years. And we had Mays, we had Mantle on, we had just about everybody in New York, all the great sportscasters and sports writers, and anybody who was coming through and authors who were free during that time. And it was just freaking amazing to sit there and say, you know, come out and actually do like almost like a Carson-like monologue. And then, you know, our first guest is Willie Mays back after this. And then we come back. Welcome back, everybody, to Sports Night. We talked about it for the last 3 weeks. That's why there's 200 people in this small room. Willie Mays. Men stood up with their sons and cried at the mere sight of Willie Mays. Ditto Mantle. And those are moments I'll never forget. Two of the, I mean, in my wildest dreams when I was calling play-by-play of the electric football games way back in the day where you push the button and they start. And I was doing play-by-play on that, and here it is. I'm interviewing Mays and Mantle. Are you kidding me? Come
wow.
on. It's a great country. You know what I'm saying? I've been blessed.
Yes. Yes, it is a great country. And you're part of it. That's nuts. You know, it's funny because Griffey, who I know you know, Griff Jr., I feel like that's the heir apparent to Willie in terms of the awe that he inspires from colleagues and from fans. All due respect to Barry Bonds as a player, but Griffey's the one who inspires that kind of level.
This generation of guys, you ask them, you know, invariably, hey man, tell me about your story. Or who was your guy growing up, and was Griffey? I mean, more often than not, Barry guys say what you know, and Barry Bonds. I mean. Pre when we suspected he did everything was still for my money a Hall of Famer. He was a dominant player, and guys from the Bay Area, you know, a lot of them were talking about that he was their guy. Mm-hmm. But there's no question, Griffey and speaking of podcasts, I have a Hey Now podcast with my sons.
See that?
And Griffey is we're recording him next week. I don't know when it's going to air, but we did Dusty a couple of days ago. So we're getting a lot of really good guys on there, too. So it's exciting. And Griffin and I have become friends over the years with his affiliation with the Mariners, and he's now part ownership and yada, yada, yada.
I'm looking at it right now. Hey Now, the Dave Sims Show with your sons, Jarrett and Jordan. Saw you had Harold Reynolds on. Do you have Bill Burr on?
I love Bill Burr. Yeah, I love Bill Burr. We have Bill Burr, Jay Wright, the one that's up, the post that the episode that's up now. We got Ken Jennings, you know, in the cam. We got Phil Sims, Ken Jennings. Tony Dungy is going to be on the show that drops, matter of fact, tonight.
Come on.
And we've got, I know I'm leaving somebody out, but we've had a good run putting a lot of these in the can. And with Jeff Garland, you watch Curb Your Enthusiasm?
Sure, of course. I know Jeff a little bit.
He's coming on. So, you know, we're doing sports and entertainment. I called in a couple of favors yesterday for an A-lister or two.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we'll stay with – there's a whole bunch of sports dudes that, believe it or not, all the years I've been doing this is football, baseball, basketball, and I haven't had a chance to talk to. So I'm dying to talk to Mike Tomlin. I don't know if I'll be able to get that in now that the season has started. But, I mean, I love that guy from afar, and I think he's great. He reminds me of my old man. He's tough.
Oh,
he's tough and smart and got a big heart.
Yeah, I love that. That's so cool that you're doing that and with your boys and all those relationships that you've forged through the decades, Dave. Just being
you,
right? Just being you. Just being kind to people. Hanging out with people.
That's what my oldest son Jared said. Don't be a schmuck. He said, "Come on, you got a great Rolodex. I mean, come on. Look, you've done talk radio, talk TV. You know, podcasting is the thing right now. Let's get in." And he's put together a terrific team. Social media and production team, the editing, and we got a great executive producer, Brandon Michaels, and so we're off to a good start, and encourage people to check us out.
You're no schmuck. Dave Sims is no schmuck. You know, I cavil at the success of your.
Hey, so do I.
Oh God. Hey man, what's it like having Jerry DePoto as a GM for a team and a fan base to know you've got an aggressive wheeler and dealer? I mean, it must be a little anxiety ridden at times, but it's nice to know that he's going to be active, isn't it?
Oh, hey, he is locked in. He and Justin Hollander, and they tore down the team. They built it back to where it is right now. This is the window. And let's not screw it up. You got elite pitchers. I mean, I said this on the air last night. Brian Wu started, and he came out with a hammy or something. But I've had coaches say, "He's your five? Hell, he'd be our one on our ball club." So, it's working. And getting a Rosarena is tremendous. The fact that Jorge Polanco looks like he's busting out of it finally. And we got a whole bunch of guys on the ball club that have underperformed. They'd be the first to tell you. I mean, they're not doing it anywhere near what they put on the back of the baseball card. If they do, and I'm not asking them to hit at Hall of Fame numbers, just hit at your numbers, dude. If we would hit the league average 240, we can win the whole thing.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Is that good?
Yeah, it really is, isn't it? And you know what I love about Randy Arozarena from the Rays that you guys got? That dude, I mean, he's a gamer from all the postseason success.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
You know he's a connector in terms of getting along with all kinds of dudes from different backgrounds and just being beloved on a team. Like, you know what you're getting. So if you got a chance to buy a little low on him because the numbers have been down, that makes all the sense in the world to me.
And we got him for two more years. So you put that dynamic, that sizzle with Julio coming off a high ankle sprain. Hopefully he's back in the next week or so. J.P. Crawford coming back off a broken hand. The constant has been the pitching. And they have not had, they've had hiccups, but they've lasted maybe one turn, one, maybe two turns tops. And so this was an unbelievable tonic, an incredible pick-me-up, a jolt to everybody in the organization. Heck, we felt it in the booth. I mean, we were jacked up. I was on radio this series, and you could feel it. You could see it. And matter of fact, it was yesterday as I was opening the show, and right before first pitching, right before the anthem, and guys are doing their pregame, hey, let's go get them. They're dapping up, slapping five, doing jumping high fives, hugging and everything. And it seemed a little bit more zest to it. And I like that.
Yeah. You know what's interesting is we're talking to Dave Sims of Mariners TV and radio right now. But a long time. Hell, I was listening to you as a talk show host at WFAN when I was young and growing up, Dave. And you were part of what made me want to do this in the first place. You know that. But
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, man. What we came in with that Mitch Haniger highlight. That's 2021. Right. And that's the deadline where Jerry DePoto trades Kendall Graveman, who was your closer at the time. And the players said they felt betrayed. The players said they felt betrayed. And you're like, oh, my God, did he lose the clubhouse? And it's instructive to this moment for Jed Hoyer and the Cubs that if you have an opportunity to be aggressive, and even if it's going to like piss off some of the players, but it's the right thing, it doesn't even necessarily mean that this season is out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah. Oh, are you kidding me? Come on. I'm a lot older than you. I grew up in Philly. 64 Phillies up 6.5 with 12 to play. Say no more. St. Louis Cardinals, Bob Gibson, and everybody ran them down, and the Cardinals went on to win everything.
Poor Gene Mock.
Yes and no. his own making, bunting and short bunting. And they had Art Mahaffey. I interviewed Art Mahaffey in like 1990. He was still pissed. Yeah, I'll never forget that. He says, "You think you're mad? How do you think I'm doing?" I was talking to Ryan Stanek, who got traded. So I talked to Stanek this is Friday. I said, dude, you know, Jerry makes a move. He's bringing in these two guys. He says, hey, man, it's great. It's great. At the same time, it's anxiety filled because you could get traded. Hour later, he was gone. He's with the Mets now. Huh. So the guys, you know, they like him. They appreciate it. They want to get better. They know they're underperformed. Dylan Moore said, hey, we got to score runs. We're not scoring runs. We score some runs, we're going to be all right. And the fact that Jerry's making moves like this, Jerry and Justin, you know, they're excited about it. And, you know, and Randy's an energy guy, too, besides being a great, really good player who's hot as heck now since, what, early, what, mid or mid, maybe early July, late June. Mm. So, you know, hopefully that's going to start paying dividends immediately.
What do you remember about that 21 bunch rallying, even though they were kind of pissed off and felt betrayed and all of that?
They used that same energy. They used that energy and made it work for them. And here's the other thing, too. As you know, this, you've been around professional athletes. Dudes do not like to get embarrassed. They don't want to embarrass themselves, and don't you embarrass them. We're going to play our ass off and go from there. But, you know, and give us a fighting chance. If you're the front office, give us a fighting chance, and then we'll see what happens. And that's, you know, that's what it's all about. Mm.
It's great stuff from Dave Sims right here on the score. Dave, the strikeouts are just too damn accepted. Right? And it's like the damage that it's done to the game. It's just, even the All-Star game, man, even the back half of the All-Star game, I'm like, nobody's got a chance here. What am I doing? These pitchers are too good. They haven't seen these guys enough. There's no scouting. I mean, they got no chance. What can we do to get more contact and offense into the game, if anything?
I was talking to Griffey about that the other day. I said, yo, man, you believe the boys are like, they're over 1,000 strikeouts. He says, hell, I didn't strike out that much in my career. And I looked it up. He's 22 years, he struck out 1,700 times. His ball club is something like 1,020 strikeouts right now. Wow. It's about approach, and it's a different approach. Everything is about launch, do damage. And you go back and look at all the previous couple, three generations, and just about all the great players had extraordinarily, by today's standards, low strikeout rates because they wanted to put the ball in play. They, you know, they were embarrassed to strike out. They were going to put it in play somehow. Yep. They're going to hit behind a runner. They're going to shorten up. They're going to go up the middle, go the other way. That's not the case. And who was it? I saw the clip I was watching. I think it was MLB Network and Joe Maddon on. And they were talking about Christopher Morel earlier in the week with you guys.
Yeah.
And it was like three sliders, and he was swinging out of his behind. When all he had to do was put the ball in play and pick up a run.
Yeah.
And that's what's going on.
Not to
bang on Morel.
No.
Because everybody's doing it.
Hey, man, welcome to our topics during the course of the week on The Daily Show. He's not even being asked to have that B-hack. He's not even being asked to have that swing. They just want him to go up there and try to hit bombs. So it's not, that point, it's not on him. It's on the org. It's on the state of the game.
Absolutely. From top to bottom. No question about it. Yeah. And more players I talked to from, like, say, Griffey's generation before that, they said, man, I don't know about these Ivy League dudes. Get some cats in there, man, if he's playing baseball. Give me this beat. You know, are you kidding me?
He said
the SOB didn't play beyond freaking Little League. And he's telling these guys who are, you know, we got, you know, the top 0.5% of the country, these great athletes, and everybody's trying to be, you know, not everybody can be, you know, Bonds, Judge, Soto.
Yeah.
I mean, you are who you are. If you're good, if you're a 250 hitter, be a damn good 250 hitter. Spray the ball around. Not yet. You know, I'm from that old school. I'm a lot older.
I'm turning into that because the more I'm around the game, the more I see it. And also, by the way, I don't think it's the best and most entertaining version of the game.
You would be correct.
Yeah.
Move to the bonus round. Yeah, no question.
So what can we do? I'm thinking make the strike zone smaller and regulate it.
No. It'll come back. You know what happens? You don't have cyclical baseball. Things will come back.
I don't believe it.
Because you get tired of getting your ass kicked like this. You're going to change something. That's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm riding with.
But that's
all I got right now.
I know, but as long as they're getting paid for slug, as long as they're getting paid for homers, and guys aren't getting paid to be good 250 hitters.
Yeah, I hear you.
It's the money. It's like we got to change the money of it. That was AJ's idea. Well, AJ Pierzynski's idea the other day was to incentivize a lack of strikeouts, that you get bonuses for every like 10 strikeouts you're under the league average or something. It's something like that. You know,
Greenbacks are good motivators. That's I don't see that being totally out of the realm. I love AJ. He, you know, the love about AJ, he's going to tell you what he thinks. And I don't have a problem with it. I really don't. I mean, if it's going to make the game better, I'm willing pretty much to try anything.
How was Georgia O'Keeffe at the Art Institute? I haven't been there yet.
It was fabulous. Mike Mayer, who I've spoken to, chatted with for 18 years coming here to Chicago, White Sox games. Years ago, I had a day off, and I went to the Art Institute, and I forget what the show was. I just did the whole thing. It was great. Yeah. So we talked about it. It was like flash forward. So the other day, he says, "Yo, hey, I got tickets. Georgia, have you seen the Georgia O'Keeffe?" I said, "No." He says, "You want to go? Here's the. I'll give you my tickets." I said, "Dude, right on." So I went over and I enjoyed the heck out of it. The thing that was scary is that as I'm looking, and I'm semi familiar with O'Keeffe's work. I live in Midtown Manhattan, and a lot of the work, I walked the same street she did. The one painting looking at the East River is in my that hotel's in my neighborhood. I was like, "You got to be!" I'm looking at it. Wait a minute, this is my life here. From 50 years, 70, 80 years ago. It's unbelievable. It was great. I enjoyed that. To answer your question, I enjoyed the hell out of it.
Well, yeah, I mean, I got to get over there. I'm a member of the Art Institute, but I haven't seen that show yet. Do you make a point to do that kind of thing on road trips? Like, different cities, you try to get something cultural in you?
I don't always succeed because, with our travel, it's a bear. And, rest is really important.
Yeah.
And even, I don't know how. I mean, I'm 50 years older than most of these players, but bless their hearts that they're able to do what they do under these travel conditions. I pick my spots.
Yeah.
And I enjoy it. I think, my parents raised me right, and I have appreciation for all that kind of stuff. And, I try to take it in. I'm not going to tell you I've done, 25 stops doing that kind of thing, but I've done my share.
All right, two quickies for you.
Yeah, because I got to go. I got that 10 o'clock bus.
I know. Two real quickies. That division, I don't know if the Rangers have a shot. It's obviously Astros and Mariners. What do you think? You guys got it?
I'm still afraid of the a little bit afraid of Texas, and the Astros are annoying as hell. And if we hit, and I think they have a measure of respect for the Mariners, and there's one more series down there against both teams. I think they're both done coming to our place. We have to go there.
Okay.
So we got a murderous schedule coming up. I mean, Boston's playing well. That's our next up, Boston. Come home for Philly for three. Detroit for three, pesky team. Mets have found themselves. And then we go out on the road. We got Detroit. We got the Dodgers. We got Pittsburgh. So this next month, we're going to find out who the heck we are, man. That's why I'm hoping like crazy, and I understand the urgency that Jerry's working under, having seen that schedule. So, we'll see what happens. Hopefully next time we talk to you, we'll be talking, pennant, maybe World Series or something.
You're the best. And then the last thing quickie, I got to ask, if that Yankee radio job came calling, is Dave Sims going to take it? You'd be so good.
I appreciate that. We'll see who knows.
All right.
Who knows? And, as they say, we'll find out.
All right, man. Hey, Dave, make that bus.
Appreciate that, man. Thanks.
All right, you're the best. Thank you, Dave.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. That's Dave Sims, one of my favorite guys, and you can hear why, huh? Man knows Yiddish, too. He does. Cavell. I didn't have to explain Cavell to that man. He married a nice Jewish girl. He told me that a long time ago. So anyway, Jim Deshays from Marquee at the top of the hour. When we come back, we mentioned AJ Pierzynski, big time rumor about him with language that is seemingly definitive from a man who should know. We'll do that next on Hit and Run on the Score.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sundays, 9 a.m. to noon.
Now, people didn't really like playing against AJ. Did you like playing with AJ?
I loved it. I mean, listen, the further you get away from the game, now this is my 10th year out of the game, you look back and all you think of is the guys that, who did you respect, who showed up to play, who was, all the other stuff kind of falls to the wayside, and you just look back and you think of the guys you played with that showed up to play every day, that they respected you and you respected them, and that's really that, like, all that's left when it's all over. And AJ showed up to play, and especially as a catcher, as AJ will tell you, in the 94 draft I was the first catcher selected. So I always had a soft spot in my heart for catchers.
People around the world, join hands. on a love train. That is Paul Konerko expressing his love for AJ Pierzynski right there on the broadcast last night. And Konerko dropping in, that's pretty cool. Konerko's an incredibly thoughtful guy, a great person to talk to if you get the chance. And AJ got the chance. We'll hear from him later on about the trade deadline. And Lord knows there's news there and things to talk about there. But there is larger news in terms of the overall future of the White Sox to discuss. And good morning to you. Matt Spiegel here, Hit on Hit and Run. Jim DeShays coming up at the top of the hour on all things Cubs. This from Bob Nightingale in USA Today. I feel like his Sunday Notes column is written for our listeners. It is. You know,
it times out perfectly.
It really does time out perfectly. We're here to help you by giving you the latest from the most direct link to White Sox news that we have found. All due respect to their own website. This from Bob Nightingale this morning. Quote, former All-Star catcher AJ Pierzynski has quietly emerged as a serious candidate to manage the Chicago White Sox in 2025. If they dismiss manager Pedro Grifol after the season as expected. Unquote. Bing, bang, mother bleepin' boom. A serious candidate, quietly emerged as a serious candidate. That does not mean it has just been discussed. And that also, it intimates to me that AJ has had conversations as well. Now, it doesn't say that. But boy, it'd be nice to ask AJ Pierzynski if he'd be interested in the Chicago White Sox job as a manager. We just had him on, Parkins and Spiegel, this week. I don't think we talked about him being a manager this week. We had a lot of other stuff to get to with AJ. But thankfully, in April of this year, during the season, when the Sox were off to a horrific start already, he was on with Mully and Haw, and they asked him about being a manager.
I've never been approached. I've never been discussed. I think that would be fun. I think it'd be fun as hell to be the guy. You need help, obviously, but to sit down and say, I don't know, what to say, it's like fantasy baseball. What you're saying, okay, well, here's your team. How can you? What do you think you can do to make it better? And I think there's ways every team can do it. At the end of the year, there's only one team that's happy, and it's the team that wins the World Series. So I think it would be fun. I think it'd be a lot of pressure, but I think at the same time, it'd be fun. To give it a shot. But no, your answer is no. No one's ever approached me. No one's ever come up to me about managing or any of that stuff. I'm just happy in the jobs I have and enjoying them.
I think it would be fun as hell, said AJ. Remember, during the Grifol interview process, he was asked about it an awful lot, said he'd be interested, but hasn't been asked. And that was at a time when the life cycle was not in a good place. Life cycle be a lot better for this team next year because I think they're about to trade everybody this week. And we'll talk about the deadline coming on later in the show. But imagine AJ Pierzynski as the manager of a young bunch. And I know it feels the same, doesn't it, Sox fans? Feels like a guy that you have a history with. But it probably has to be a guy you have a history with. Just to work with some of the things that are there. It's got to be a guy you have a history with as a manager, but he's got to be loud and opinionated and stubborn because that's why it worked with Ozzy, because Ozzy fought Kenny Williams on stuff. If AJ was going to fight Chris Getz on stuff, good. You need that. You need healthy dissonance and disagreement. And we know and have heard recently, AJ, when asked about Jerry Reinsdorf and the White Sox ownership, he gets very defensive of the team, the org, and Jerry. This was him doing a different podcast. I don't think it was Foul Territory. I forget where this was, Sean. But he saw a White Sox fan who had the shirt on that said, sell the team. Oh, this is from the broadcast, actually, last night. Okay, so this is fresh stuff. I know there was a thing like within the last couple of weeks where he saw somebody with a Sell the Team shirt, and he said, what are you doing? Take off that shirt. He reacted to that. This was on the broadcast just last night. Good grab. When he saw somebody with a shirt that said, I don't like my team. I don't like our team. Also wearing a bag on his head. And I don't like our team was the Chris Getz quote directly. But here's AJ reacting to that last night.
I don't think he likes his team. Now, what gives you that idea? All right, so a couple questions about that. One, where do you buy that shirt? And two, who sells that shirt?
Obvious.
I don't like our team.
Yeah. Obvious shirts. But anyway. AJ has been very defensive of Jerry Reinsdorf and defensive of the org, and he's been he has disagreed with Chris Getz. All that stuff fits, and then that quote you just heard from Mullion Hall from April. I would love it. It would be fun. Man. I'm not going to go 0% chance that AJ is not the manager, because that's something that Danny Parkins might do, trying to flip it around. You know, and then it would the whole situation be mushed. But I'm immune to that sort of thing, because I'm a rational thought provider. Danny is emotional. He flies off the handle, as you know, as everybody
You've
knows.
You've got a proven track record, too. I mean, you saved the Cubs last year, man.
Oh, stop. Save the Cubs so then they could buy at the deadline and then fall apart in September.
Yeah, that's something.
Sean, don't undermine me. I'm rolling over here, okay? I was crapping on Danny. That's when
I don't like our team.
I know. But anyway, sure does feel like AJ Pierzynski is going to be the manager next year. Sure does feel like that. And that would not be a horrendous thing, in my opinion. Because the manager is an atmosphere provider. I could see him being a good atmosphere provider and right up until he pisses everybody off. But then it might still work because they would play with some anger, as he always played with. And maybe that's not a bad thing. Just heard Dave Sims talk about it with the 2021 Mariners. All right, let's talk about the Cubs. You know, it was a year ago today. We'll play it for you as our way of introducing Jim Deshaies in the next hour. Then after that, about 10:20, phone lines are going to be blown wide open with your involvement. So keep it right here on 670 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.